right, so welcome back to Code Unlocked Marketing Over Matter. My name is Jonathan Delamater, and today we have an incredibly special episode featuring the man himself, Josh Ryan of Cleverpreneur. Josh, how the heck are you, man? Yeah, and so say I hire an influencer to, like, give me a shout-out or something. Do you think, does a shout-out work better, generally speaking, in, like, captions or stories? And I'm not sure if there's another way to do it. But what's your take on that?
I would say captions in the feed is pretty good. Sometimes reposting your content. If your content is very similar to their account, paying them to repost your content is going to work quite well. If your content is very different, it may not get much engagement, and then the reach won't be as good. So just promoting it through the caption is probably going to be best, but yeah.
Okay. Here we go, redirecting again, and I apologize.
Sweet.
So I know, I'm not sure if it was ads that you worked on, but I know that you've been involved with huge creators, you know, Gary Vee, Russell Brunson, the list goes on, I'm sure. But so what was your experience like working with them from, like, start to finish?
So Gary Vee was a very, very minimal amount that we did with his growth. It was, we did a few promotions on my account, just basically his team reached out and paid us to promote his content. So I didn't ever talk directly with him or deal directly with him. And it wasn't really that much. It was like, we ran some promotions on our account for him when he had like 50,000 followers, ages ago. So I don't have much one-on-one with them. With Russell, we did a lot of growth for him for about a year or so. And again, I didn't really directly talk to him. I was mostly going through his two, like, main people, like Dave Woodward and Brian Parks, I think it is. Is it Brian? John Parks, sorry, not Brian. Those two who were awesome to work with. They were both very great advertisers and great at marketing, so great to work with them and very, very easy to work with. Anything that I needed content wise, it was very straightforward, good to deal with. Helped them blow up Russell's account. And don't currently work with them, but very, very easy to work with. Like, we did some stuff with them on TikTok as well. And it was very easy to work with. Good people.
Yeah. That's great. And so when you worked with the people inside their companies, like, were you working side by side in terms of, like, both sort of coming together on strategies, or did they just leave it all up to you?
It was mostly like they would mostly leave it up to me. Well, I mean, with the Gary Vee side of things, because it was just promotions on our account, like, they already sort of had their overall plan, and they just reached out to a ton of pages and was like, how much is it going to cost for you to post this? So it was very easy that way with Russell's stuff. I mean, again, their team was sort of like, you're the expert, you run with it. And if anything seems off common sense wise, like, from their end, like, if they see something that's like, they would just message you and just ask, like, you know, what's this all about? And you just explain what's going on, how it's working. But I don't know. I find a lot of those bigger clients are very easy to work with. It's often the smaller ones. Like, for them, Instagram is a small part of their whole business, so, like, it's not like a focus to them, and the amount of money they might be spending, it might be very insignificant to them. So it's not like it's not getting all their attention. It might have like 1% of their attention. Whereas if you're working with a small business who has got one social media platform and you're going to help them, they might be spending half their day thinking about that because it's going to be massive to them. And so it's probably going to be a lot more micromanaged. Not saying that's a bad thing, like, it's just sort of how it is, like, they're more invested in that. So the bigger clients is often a lot easier to work with, I've found.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. But so did they sort of like bring you on to solve a problem, or was it mostly just growth? Like just take this and just grow it?
Mostly just growth. We helped. It was, yeah, mostly just growth and that sort of thing. I think that's often the case when it comes to social media. I don't think there's often that many situations where people have got a problem. It's more like the problem is not growing and you come in and you grow it. I mean, people who consult on different areas might come in and they might have a problem with their landing pages, or they might have a problem with their websites or their fulfillment or something, and you might come in and solve that problem. With social media, usually it's just come in, grow it, get them results.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's very that's sick. So again, I'm gonna transition here.
No worries.
In 2021, mainly due to bots massacring the platform, I just saw this recently in a video I think you made in February, because I had this whole, you know, I reached out to you maybe 2 weeks ago and I started writing my questions, and I wrote all this stuff about the $1.80 strategy, but now I realize that it's basically in the can, or, you know, not quite as, or it's more diminished than it once was. And now, with commenting having to be more strategic and focused, you mentioned testing comments in your ebook. I just bought that yesterday. Loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On Gumroad or whatever. Yeah.
I got started on your courses, but I wanted to support you and
cheers,
get the ebook, see the new stuff. So, have you... In your like, you sort of mentioned stuff in the ebook, but just while I have you here, is there any sort of formula that works well when it comes to commenting, like on a total stranger's account?
I think the more targeted it is to that piece of content, the better it's going to do. Like if you go into a hashtag and someone's posting, I don't know, about whatever it is, maybe they're making a post about the football, and you leave your opinion on what's happening in the football, you're going to get a better response than if you like comment, yeah, I agree, cool post. Like if you put something that's genuinely relevant to that piece of content, you're going to get more of a response from it, and you're going to get more of a response from their audience who see that comment. So I think it just comes down to that, just being really, really, really genuine and relevant to the content. Rather than, like in the past, you could just go through, cool post, love it, thanks for sharing this. That worked. Like, that worked 3-4 years ago.
Fire emoji.
Yeah, exactly. You could do that. I would sit in class and do that, like, 4 years ago. That would work. But now it comes down to being more... just have to be really, really genuine so people know it's not a bot. Because if someone makes a post about something specific and you comment something showing that you've actually read it, and they can tell that, they're going to realize it's not a bot and it's an actual person that's seen their post, liked it, left a comment, and that's going to be much more attractive for them to then look at your profile and see what you got going on, and if they enjoy your content, following you.
Yeah. And so do you recommend doing comments to like a group of profiles at a time, like picking, let's say, 10 profiles and say, I'm going to comment on their profiles, you know, twice a day for like a week or so to sort of keep the conversation flowing, or, you know what I'm trying to say, or...
I don't know if it really matters too much, as long as the accounts have the audience, the accounts and the hashtags that you're commenting on have the audience that you're looking to grow. So like if you're trying to go after people that love fishing, finding accounts that are all about fishing and finding hashtags that people post their fishing photos on and just going to that content and engaging with it consistently. I don't think it matters if you're hitting the same accounts over and over or whether you've got different accounts every time, as long as you're out there engaging with people in that community who are interested in that content, it's going to work.
Definitely. So for someone who's a creator and someone trying to monetize, We all sort of face this challenge, but I was just wondering, how much information do you recommend giving away as a content creator who sells a course or coaching or an ebook like yourself? Like, how do you know where to draw the line between free and paid?
I'm probably not the best expert on this, to be completely honest. Personally, I try and give away lots and lots for free. I'm not trying to make my money off, and I think I do this differently to a lot of creators. Like, I'm not trying to get as many course sales as possible, or like sell like $1,000 course at the end of the day. Like, I've got that content there if people want to get more in depth, more step-by-step stuff. But at the end of the day, I want to build a big audience that can then make me money through starting businesses. So like, I've got my agency where clients will come and I can give away everything for free. A big company is still going to want to hire me to grow their stuff for them and to just do it for them. So personally, I try and give away as much information as I can for free. The stuff that I think I reserve for like the paid courses side of thing is the more step-by-step side of things. So I think that's one way to look at it. Give away everything for free, and then your paid ebook or your paid course can be like a step-by-step, start to finish piece of content. And then obviously, even if you give away everything for free, you're still going to have people hit you up for consulting because they want you to say, do this, and look at your specific situation. And you can still start businesses out there that, I don't know, I quite like the way that Gary Vee's done it. Like, he gives away everything for free, and then he's got his ebooks, and he's got, sorry, not ebooks, books and businesses. I sort of want to do something similar, but I've also got a course. I like that model, building a large audience, giving away everything, and then create companies around it. So he's got his wine company, he's got his agency, he's got investments, he's got his speaking company where he helps speakers, and he's got all these different things. I like that model personally.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think you do go a bit more in depth in the courses though. And the step-by-step approach, it's very much defeats watching a billion YouTube videos and still like not knowing where to start or like...
Exactly. And because people, at the same time, like people, like the YouTube videos have to be made in a certain way that works well for YouTube, which in an online course, you're not worried about that. Like in an online course, you're worried about taking someone from A to Z. On YouTube, you're worried about making sure the video is short, sharp, engaging, and keeping people's attention. You're not going to talk about something for 10 minutes that people need to hear, but they don't want to hear. Which is often the case on YouTube. Like you often have to make it how people want it, not necessarily how they need it. Because sometimes some of my best videos I'll put out there and they'll get like hardly any views because people don't want to sit and listen to a detailed thing. So I don't know, I sort of put the more detailed stuff into the course, and then free content is valuable, but it's also what people want to consume and that they're going to click on and that they're going to watch.
Yeah, no, definitely. But what do you do about people? I'm not sure. I mean, I've never DM'd you before, but on Instagram. But so, like, what if a ton of people, I'm sure, are asking you for free help or something in your DMs? Like, I mean, how do you approach that sort of situation? Because I had not a huge Instagram page, but maybe like 1,000 followers, and people hit me up all the time asking, like, look at my profile, tell me what I need to do, you know, but like too many to like really create an impact. I was just, again, sort of like, where should I draw the line and, like, before I get recognized as like the guy who will help you for free?
Yeah, so personally, like when I first started out, I would sort of reply to everything. And I think it is a good way to understand your audience and understand the people. Like, when you're not getting that many people, if it's just a person here, a person there, you can reply to everyone and give them your time. Nowadays, nowadays I sort of skim through it and I sort of pick out the main questions that people are asking. So if I see a ton of people asking the same thing over and over, I would just write that down and make a video on it, and then that can serve everyone. But I sort of look at it that way. Like, if I get the same question over and over, I'll make a video that can serve everyone. If people want specific one-on-one help, I would just send them a link to book a consulting call, which is what I do a little bit on the side, although I'm not a massive fan of selling consulting. I like it a little bit, but yeah, one of my friends who also has a YouTube channel, Ben Levitt, you potentially have seen, I think he's got something where he offers like profile audits where it's like a 5-minute audit. He'll go like, look at your Instagram screen, do a screen recording, tell you what you need to do. And I can't remember, he charges like maybe $10 or something, and it might take him 5 minutes to do. So that's a good option. And then the people that are serious will pay for it, and the people that want something for free and get pissed off probably aren't your target customers. Like the people that are going to get annoyed that you're going to charge them $5 for your expertise to spend a few minutes to look at the Instagram, they're not your customers anyway. So yeah, that's sort of how I look at it.
I'm really happy I asked again. That's very good advice. So another thing I've been personally confused about, so if I'm in the Instagram tips niche and want to post like a lifestyle post or something to my feed, because a lot of these YouTube celebrities, you know, I've seen Adam Ivey talk about it. I think Vanessa Luau, if I'm sure I'm butchering her name, but I think she has another thing on it. So say I post a lifestyle post to my feed, how do I, you know, in the hashtags or whatever, because Instagram can see what my post is about, like say it's me smiling with an ice cream cone, you know, how do I tie that into my niche, you know, like am I messing myself up by doing something like that, do you think?
Personally, I just keep it separate. Like I've got my personal account where I post personal stuff, and it's just photos of me or photos of me playing sport or doing whatever, and then I've got my business account where I post content about Instagram marketing, about YouTube marketing, about that sort of thing there. So I keep it separate. If you want to keep it on the same account, just put the photo on your story. That's the way I look at it. So if you want to post something that's completely unrelated to your niche, then just put it on your story, I think is the way to go, because it's not affected by the algorithm. It's only there for 24 hours, and it's a more casual place.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. That's why it's been confusing me for a long time, so I'm happy we talked about that.
No worries.
What's your advice on, like, sort of establishing a name for yourself, like positioning yourself as an expert from, like, ground zero?
What do you mean by ground zero?
Like, you know, say you're just starting, no followers.
I feel like, I don't know, just create content in that niche that is somewhat different to what's already out there. Like, if possible, like, look at a way that you can add your own spin to content in that niche. Another part is have results, which I think a lot of people miss. So, like, if you want to become an e-commerce expert and you're going to create content, like actually have an e-commerce store that's doing well, and then you're also not going to be too worried about how your personal brand's doing. Like if you've got an e-commerce store that's making you $1 million a year and you want to give people some free advice on the side and build that up as a second business, like teaching people e-commerce, you won't be as rushed with it because you've already got a business doing well. So yeah, finding a unique way to put a spin on the content, also taking advantage of the new platforms that aren't as well established but have crazy organic reach. So like get on TikTok, get on Instagram Reels. Those two are like nuts at the moment. You could blow up being a coach in any niche, in any saturated niche. If you got on TikTok and just made interesting TikToks, you could blow it up quickly. Yeah, and then you can repurpose it for Instagram Reels too.
Please follow me.
I actually saw there's a guy on TikTok that does that in like the stocks niche. Like he's not a legitimate finance TikToker. He just takes a mic and he'll like yell like about, he'd just be obnoxious about investing in stocks and literally yell it at the camera. And he's got like a decent, he's got a couple hundred thousand TikTok followers. It's quite funny, but yeah. People have done it.
As a content creator, like if someone would, I've have this dilemma maybe approaching soon, but like if someone was to hire me and their niche is very mundane, you know, like a gutter company, like if somebody who sells gutters or something, that's the literal example. I'm sure there's a ton more. But like, what would be your strategy for their content and like driving engagement when the service or product is like really, really dull?
So like a local business, is it?
They're called the brothers that just do gutters, and that's it.
Create content about the area. You don't have to create it about guttering, but like you could create content that people in that area would be enjoying. So like in the city that they're in, that's obviously their target market, and everyone's got a gutter. So like everyone in that region that needs guttering, I don't know if I'm wording that right, but like pretty much they're trying to appeal to everyone in a small area that needs guttering. So you might not necessarily have to create content about guttering. It could be just about that area. So you could talk to, I think Gary Vee talked about this a lot, for like real estate agents, I think was the example he used. We could almost have like a talk show where you talk with lots of interesting people in the area and it builds up an audience in that space. So it could be just creating content about cool people, cool places, cool things in that area, putting that on like Facebook, Instagram, so on, that people in that town would enjoy. And then you can build up an audience of people in that area. And then when people in that area, I need to get my guttering get done, and they know already of that person because of the other content. That's one idea. The other idea, I don't know, is a tough one. You sort of have to get a bit outside the box for that, those niches.
I was thinking about like Geico and Progressive, how they take something kind of mundane like insurance, but they entertain us. Or Aflac, the duck, or oh my god, what's the Progressive commercial? The guy teaches people not to become their parents. Like it's
yeah,
yeah. Oh, I love that one. But I don't know. I just was thinking that might be a solution. But I really liked your advice. That was very, very good. We're getting down to the bottom of this, Josh. I'm sorry to keep you for so long. I just wrote these questions and had no idea how long or how short this would be.
I will have to go in about 5 minutes. If I got called at 5, but till then we're good to keep rolling.
Well, let me just see here. So is there a story behind the source, Alessandro Paluzzi? Like, how did you find them?
There is another Twitter person who does something similar called Jane Wong, I believe, but she's quite well known. And I think she shared something of his. So she's like quite well known in the industry for like putting out that sort of content, and like has done lots. She's been doing this for a long, long time. So I think I found her first through, might have even been another YouTuber was talking about her. So I found her, and then I think she shared something from this Alessandro Paluzzi that had the new stuff about Instagram. So I think it was just that way.
Are there any other sources that you get your breaking Instagram news from?
Mostly just those two, Alessandro and Jane Wong. The two main ones that I see, like that sort of stuff. Aside from that, just following other people in the industry and seeing what they're up to, and trying to keep your eyes peeled for different updates.
Josh, you keep your eyes very peeled. You are always, you're my source. So, so is there anything, are there any features? No. getting to the bottom of all this, because I want to let you go. I know you have to go. So how do you win on Instagram in 2021, the short form approach?
Create good content in the feed that is going to fit your target audience, and that they can enjoy. So if you're a coach, lots of educational content, and have that as like your base. So like a ton of good, insightful content in the feed that serves value to your target audience. And then get on Instagram Reels and just go crazy with it and make a ton of Instagram Reels, and that'll blow up your audience. So you want to have solid content in the feed to have people like sort of stick around, and then a ton of Reels to just bring crazy exposure. The Reels will bring the exposure. You just need the quality content in the feed that stands out and serves your target audience to be able to actually have people stick around and stay around, and you don't end up like a TikTok sort of account that might go crazy and then drop off.
Yeah, definitely. And last question, did you paint that painting behind you?
No, no way.
No?
No, this is just had that a while, sitting around. Definitely did not paint that.
All right, everybody, definitely subscribe to my man Josh. He's the king of Instagram. Get his ebook. YouTube, Instagram. Josh, dude, thank you so much for coming on and talk to me. I really can't thank you enough, man.
No worries, man. Cheers for having me. Good to be on.
All right, brother. Have an excellent rest of your day, Josh.
Cheers, mate. Enjoy your evening.
All right, man. Thank you so much again, brother.
No worries.
And best of luck with your growth.
Cheers, mate. You too.